This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's November 22nd. We're less than a week away from Thanksgiving. Hopefully, you're going to have a restful week where you can take some time and be thankful for what you have in your life. Hopefully, it's going well. I am Jeff Mellor, and this is White Sox Weekly. It was a busy week for the White Sox when it comes to transactions. We'll get you caught up to date here and also let you hear from Chris Getz momentarily as he met with the media virtually regarding a lot of these transactions. And it began on Tuesday when the White Sox selected the contracts of Duncan Dovitt and Tanner McDougal. Now, the key here is that players in your organization that you want to protect from the Rule 5 draft need to be on your 40-man roster this week, and that is why the White Sox chose to elevate Dovitt and McDougal to the 40-man roster. McDougal, the real, I think, gem here, as he is the White Sox third-rated pitching prospect inside the organization after only Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith. McDougal is 22. He is 6'5", 240 pounds, and had some dominant numbers for both the Winston-Salem Dash and Birmingham Barons over his minor league season last year. Was also named the Southern League Pitcher of the Week for June 30th through July 6th when he was dominant. And he also pitched in two postseason games for the Birmingham Barons in their triumphant route to a second consecutive Southern League title. So McDougal is now on the 40-man roster along with Dovitt. Surprisingly, Frazier Ellard retired. That's right. He was placed on the voluntary retired list, so he's no longer on the 40-man roster. Ellard, 28 years old, appeared in 18 games over three stints with the White Sox last year. He went 1-2 with a 4.24 ERA. He was originally drafted by the Sox in the eighth round of the 2021 first-year player draft. Chris Getz will address Frazier Ellard's decision to retire. That'll be the first thing that he notes on when we let you hear from the White Sox GM. White Sox also made a couple of trades this past week. They acquired Chris Murphy, who's a lefty primarily reliever from the Boston Red Sox, in exchange for Ronnie Hernandez, the catcher, the minor league catcher. Of course, the White Sox have quite a bit of depth at the catching position with both Kyle Teal, Edgar Caro, and I'll also add in Corey Lee. So you've got three major league ready catchers that you're dealing with. So Ronnie Hernandez dealt for Chris Murphy, a lefty who's 27. Murphy went 3-0 with a 3.12 ERA over 34 and two-thirds innings pitched. He struck out 30 in 23 relief appearances for the Red Sox in 2025. Also, the White Sox acquired Everson Pereira and Tanner Murray from the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for Yoendris Gomez and Steven Wilson. Of course, Yoendris Gomez was somebody that the White Sox acquired in the middle of the year last year, had quite a bit of success with Gomez, and Steven Wilson was somebody that I'm not sure the White Sox were really interested in extending a offer to, and they had to make a decision on him. So I think it was some roster cleanup there, dealing Wilson and Gomez for Pereira, who was I think he's the one guy who really stands out, Tanner Murray as well, but Pereira was a prospect in the Yankee system who at one time was number four in the New York Yankees roster. So he's the guy with some big power who is the interesting name there of the key additions that the White Sox made this past week. Pereira is 5'11" with 205 pounds. He has played 50 career games over two major league seasons with both the Rays and Yankees. Now, he has struggled to make contact at times, but he's got some big power, and I think the idea is that the White Sox are hoping they can unlock some of that with the tutelage of Ryan Fuller, who is the director of White Sox hitting. So I think that was the thought process there for the White Sox in making some of these deals this past week. I am Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. And hey, Sox fans, if you want to stay up to date on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts, don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Do so by following at White Sox on social today. I am Jeff Meller, and as I mentioned, Chris Getz had a lot to say about these moves, also addressed Luis Robert Jr.'s presence on the roster and his thought about whether or not he will be the White Sox opening day center fielder, despite the fact that a lot of trade rumors have been surrounding Luis Robert Jr. We'll let you hear from the White Sox general manager coming up next, right here on White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Happy holidays, White Sox fans. Starting at just $66, get a White Sox holiday pack. Redeemable for more than 50 games throughout the 2026 season. To learn more and purchase, visit whitesox.com/packs. Jeff Meller back on White Sox Weekly, and as I mentioned, it has been a busy week for the White Sox, in particular Chris Getz, who made quite a few transactions, and he met with the media virtually on Tuesday this past week. That was Wednesday. All the transactions happened on Tuesday. He met with the media on Wednesday and began discussing the surprising retirement of Frazier Ellard.
I was a little surprised, too. A couple of weeks ago, he had reached out. Frazier's a very well thought out, thorough individual, always very professional. He shared with me that he was ready to retire. Obviously unusual, being that he was just getting his major league career started. Now I did know that he's a very bright kid. He's someone that has interests outside of baseball. Not that that is uncommon, but I know that he has some businesses outside of baseball. And on top of that, he and his wife are starting a family. We talked through the decision. Oftentimes when players come to me and are looking to retire, and most often I had those conversations as a farm director more so than as a general manager. If I know that it's a well thought out decision, it's not my job to convince someone to continue playing Major League Baseball, professional baseball. I thanked him and let him know that I enjoyed getting to know him, and he was a very strong reputation within our organization, and that if he needs anything in the future, that we're here for him and wished him well.
On the flip side, can you talk about the guys you acquired yesterday and kind of how they fit in the present and the future for you guys?
Sure. Well, I'll start with the reserve list and the internal guys that we added, Tanner McDougal and Duncan Davitt. Tanner had a tremendous year. He really put himself on the map as one of the top, as a top arm in the industry on the minor league side. So that was an automatic for us, and feel like he can be an impactful arm for us at the major league level in 2026. Duncan Davitt, another right-handed starter, right-handed arm that we acquired in the Adrian Hauser deal. He's someone that we feel like is versatile, can give us starter innings, can pitch in the bullpen if need be, both in a multi-inning role, but also in a higher leverage, knowing that his stuff is there. He's got weapons for both sides, and know even on shorter stints that his stuff will play up even further. So. Both guys that have garnered a lot of interest around the league and in trade discussions and roster discussions with clubs. And we're excited to add them to the 40 man. From a trade standpoint yesterday, being able to bring in Tanner Murray in addition to Everson Pereira from the Rays, You know, Tanner Murray is a versatile infielder, versatile player. He's played a little bit of outfield as well. Can play shortstop, second and third base. He's got some power. So to be able to acquire him and add him to the 40-man is something that excites us as, you know, as we look to bring in as many premium position versatile players as we can. Tanner brings that to the table, so very excited to bring him aboard. Everson Pereira, you know, he was a top prospect with the New York Yankees, came over to the Rays at the deadline. Another premium position player with big power, just getting his major league career started as he's just getting acclimated to the big leagues. You know, just be able to add depth to our outfield, being able to play all three is certainly valuable to any team, and excited to bring those guys in. In addition, Chris Murphy from the Boston Red Sox, a left-handed reliever. He's got, you know, he has started in the past, you know, which adds to, you know, his versatility and value. Not that we're sold on what role he's going to play quite yet, but he has a track record of being able to, you know, face, you know, opponents from the right-handed side and having weapons there and neutralizing, you know, those appearances, and, you know, a guy with some experience to add to our bullpen, you know, look forward to having him part of the team next year as well.
Hey, Chris, I was particularly curious about Pereira because he kind of resembles a couple other acquisitions, maybe Miguel Vargas and Curtis Meade, a little bit of someone who had prospect status. And if you look at their lines, it looks like they haven't really been able to get going in the majors. I know you're not like carving out whose role is what, you know, in November, but you see this as kind of an opportunity to provide him maybe major league runway that he hasn't had, you know, previous organizations.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, very similar to the pathways for, you know, the two players that you had mentioned. You know, yeah, hasn't had a clear runway just because of, you know, the landscapes that they were coming from. You know, at his floor, we got a strong defender that can play in center field in the wings and, you know, has power potential, you know, just like the two that you named. He's got a big engine. He's got potential. We think he's got a chance to really bloom into, you know, a solid everyday player. So, you know, one thing that we can provide that other places can is opportunity. You know, those opportunities are coming less and less as we continue to develop and players are really taking advantage of their major league opportunities. But when it comes to outfield and outfield depth, Pereira, you know, I think is going to be able to, you know, bring some of the table. You know, certainly, you know, at the very least, you're looking at someone that can hammer lefties and play a solid defense. So we look forward to seeing him in spring training. He's playing winter ball right now. He'll play a little bit longer and then get, you know, further prepared for 2026.
I guess with any kind of, you know, hitting acquisition, especially like a post-hype guy like this, you know, with Fuller aboard, is this someone that you kind of have some excitement or some sort of plan with handing it to your hitting infrastructure and hoping, like, you know, obviously his issue has been making contact, like that there's, you know, some sort of fix there that you could make that transforms the profile a little bit?
Yeah, there's, you know, we identified some adjustments and Ryan was part of, you know, the process in evaluating, you know, evaluate Everson or Tanner or just like any other player that we bring in. So, you know, we'll take advantage of the offseason to make some of those adjustments as we continue to build that relationship, you know, with these new incoming players. Objectively, you look at, okay, some areas that they're good at and some areas that they could strengthen and, you know, dial in a plan and feel very strongly about the infrastructure carrying out that plan with the players.
You told me and very directly that you're not shopping Louis Robert, but you're taking calls on him. That was your take last week. How robust is that market? And, you know, although you're planning on him being with the club this year, how tempted might you be knowing that those type of talents don't come around every day to bring back other young talent?
Yeah, I mean, Louis, you know, it goes back to the talent that he has and his ability. And obviously, he's performed at the major league level at a high level, and then there's been times where he's had some injuries or some scuffling. But to be able to have a player like that, you know, in your organization. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, that's why he is attractive, because they feel like, you know, they could use that boost as well. So it's not an easy one, because we're you know, it's not an easy conversation, because we're talking about, you know, someone that can really change the game in a lot of different ways. It's very truthful that, you know, we are not shopping him, because we, you know, we're very comfortable having him in a White Sox uniform, knowing what he's capable of doing. Now, if it makes sense for both parties to work out a deal, then so be it. But we're planning on him being in uniform for us next year.
You've taken a lot of abuse during deadlines and off seasons about being asking for too much for him when people did approach you. Have you gotten over that personally? Do you not take it personally, or, you know, how do you approach that when you know, industry people through other media people, you know, rip you for being too tough on negotiations?
Well, you know, I don't follow it that closely, but I do know that you know, I have heard that, you know, teams have been frustrated with Ass, but that frustration is stemming from the fact that they really want the player. So there's different ways to view it. You know, and the beauty of it all is he's our player, and he's someone that we're proud of, and we know that could help us win ball games. And if that means that, you know, we're stubborn or we're asking for too much, so be it. But he's our player, and it's our right to handle it that way.
Hey, Chris, just what stood out to you about Chris Murphy's 2025 coming off of Tommy John surgery?
Well, just that, you know, he had the 2024 Tommy John, and 2025. He still had a solid year. Oftentimes, you know, with recovery of Tommy John, there can be some command that comes later than, you know, the actual stuff. And we recognize that. You know, but at the very least, when you stack him up against what we have, we felt like he would insert nicely, knowing that there's some more ceiling in there. And then the versatility was attractive as well, knowing that he's been in multi-inning roles, he's been in matchup roles, and he's also been a starter. So we haven't decided on how we're going to use him, but the fact that there's different options with him, you know, made him just that much more attractive.
So there you go. Interestingly enough, Chris Getz at the end there talking about the addition of Chris Murphy, who, if we take it full circle from Getz beginning his media availability, talking about Frazier Ellard, it's almost like Murphy could be looked at as a one-for-one replacement, the lefty for the lefty in some ways. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. When we come back, MLB White Sox reporter Scott Merkin joins us to talk about some of the moves that the White Sox made and maybe some of the moves on the horizon as well. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider and get special offers, single game ticket presales, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly. Pleased to be joined by White Sox reporter for MLB.com, Scott Merkin. You know him, you've heard him on these airwaves for a long, long time. He's been covering the White Sox for a long, long time. He has that institutional knowledge that we're looking for when we hit the offseason. And Scott, it seems like, even though it's the offseason, it never ends. There's always something going on with major league rosters. Of course, the 40-man is under the microscope this week because, of course, you need to get that finalized before the Rule 5 draft. White Sox selected the contract of Tanner McDougal and Duncan Dovitz. Chris Getz talked about that. We played that for the folks earlier. Just your initial thoughts to the White Sox making those moves before we get to some of the trades as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jeff. And, you know, yeah, this has been 24 years for me. This will be the 24th season. So, you know, institutional knowledge is a good way to put it. But
we're going to have to get you the silver anniversary next year, Scott. I got a year to plan for it, so we'll think about
that. That's right. That's right. I don't know what we'll do on that. I'm sure the team will be honoring me on that, too. I'm kidding, actually. But yeah, you know, it's interesting when you have the Rule 5 protection or the contracts being added to the roster. There's always guys that you try and guess like who will be on and who won't. And, you know, there are some key names left off. Mason Adams was not added to the 40-man. Ben Peoples, who was another reliever who scouts really like, who the Sox picked up in that Adrian Hauser trade along with Meade and Davids. He was not in. So there's a bunch of guys. Now, you know, the thing about the Rule 5 is they have to stay on the roster, the Major League roster, the entire year. So I think that's what teams are looking at. So that usually lends itself more to like a reliever if you're picking someone up. But in terms of adding, I mean, I think Tanner McDougal is going to play, or at least right now, as of, you know, mid-November, I think Tanner McDougal is going to play a significant role on the team next year. And I'm not saying he's going to be the opening day starter, but I think he is going to, you know, see the Major Leagues for far more than the minor leagues, if not entire of the Major League season. And, you know, he's coming off a great year. He's healthy. He's throwing the ball well. He's doing work in the offseason at this place. I think it's called Cressley Performance in Florida. And he told me recently he's going back down there at the beginning of December. So he's geared up and ready to go. I don't know if it'll be, you know, as part of the rotation or if it'll be part of the bullpen. And that's still to be determined, I think, with some of the moves that Chris and the front office make. And then David is a good pitcher to have. And I don't want to play him down because he had good, you know, pretty good numbers overall in the minor leagues last year. But I think he's a good depth piece, right? Like whether it's a guy you have at the major league level or a guy you have at AAA who could be at the major league level, he's a guy you don't have to go out and look for. You have him as part of the part of the rotation. Or Chris even referenced that, you know, he could work as a reliever too. So you have him. He's on your 40 man. He's your guy. So it's a good add on too. So it's always interesting to see who. You know, there's a lot of guesswork that goes into that before it happens to see who gets picked and who doesn't. And it'd probably be a good story to follow up and ask, like, you know, how do you break it down? How do you decide who stays and who goes on those tough decisions?
Yeah, Scott Merkin joining me here on White Sox Weekly. You mentioned McDougal, and specifically you look at his big frame. He's 6'5", listed at 240 right. pounds. He just completed a year where he was a starter all season long. I mean, correct me if you think I'm wrong. I don't think it's out of the question if he pitches really well in spring training. He could win a rotation spot for the White Sox.
He definitely could. Now, again, as we're sitting here now, we don't know how the whole rotation is going to be composed, right? We don't know who they're adding on, who they may trade, you know, yada, yada, yada. You know, we know who they have, you know, Davis Martin, Sean Burke, Jonathan Cannon, Shane Smith, who is an all-star and finished up so strong, you know, flirted with a no-hitter in the last game of the year, flirted with a perfect game, as a matter of fact, the last game of the year with, you know, at the Nationals. So, I'm sure I'm leaving some. And then, you know, Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith come behind there. But absolutely, I think if the roster composition stays pretty close to where it is now in terms of starting pitching, I think Tanner definitely would have a case if he pitches well, if he shows what they feel like they need to see. You know, I don't know if numbers in spring training matter as much as what you're seeing on the field. And that's, I think, what they saw from Shane Smith last year. Yeah, he looked great, you know, against the Dodgers in his outings during the Cactus League. But they saw someone who really belonged, and he proved it right away that he did. But I agree with you. I think Tanner could break camp with this team, absolutely.
Part of the reason that there will be an open spot, or at least more up for grabs, is because the White Sox also made a trade, a couple trades, but Yoenndris Gomez, who was another piece of found money for the White Sox in this organization. They did that with Adrian Hauser earlier in the season, and I feel like they did the same with Yoenndris Gomez. They traded him and Steven Wilson to Tampa in exchange for Everson Pereira, who was somebody who had that prospect pedigree at one time in his career, and also Tanner Murray. What were your thoughts about that deal when you saw it come across?
Yeah, I'm thinking it works in the sense that, you know, I think Gomez had a very nice attempt, did a very nice job as part of rotation. I'm not sure where his fit was going forward. You know, when we talked to Chris the other day about the moves, we didn't really ask much about Gomez or Wilson, but you know, Wilson was arbitration eligible. I'm not sure if that would have been a non-tender candidate. So I think it's two guys who weren't firmly, who, you know, did fine for the White Sox last year. You know, Steven Wilson worked kind of all over that bullpen, right? From middle relief to closing some games. But I think two guys who probably weren't in the long-term future plans. And in the process, you made a trade that you may have two guys who could help. You know, Everson Pereira was once a highly touted prospect with the Yankees. I think top five prospect with the Yankees. Now, in small sample size, he has not hit at all in the major league level, but he has hit pretty well in the minors. He's doing decently in Venezuela and winter ball right now. And this is, you know, I wrote this the other day that the White Sox are kind of still in this, you know, this stage of the rebuild, kind of the land of opportunity where guys like this can get a chance, guys like Pereira can get a chance to, maybe run a, get a little more runway, you know, show himself a little more. Now, I think Chris brought up a good point. Chris Getz brought up a good point the other day that with the team progressing, you know, with the young guys coming up there and holding claim to their spots, that opportunity is getting a little smaller for these guys because they're moving closer to where they want to be, right?
Yep.
So it's not, you hope. I mean, if you're the White Sox, if you're Chris Getz, you hope you're not talking about this 3 years from now about, you know, oh, yeah, guys still have opportunity. You're hoping that guys have claimed the opportunity. So in the case of Pereira, yes, he's going to get a chance, but he's got to show himself too, right? It's the same thing for all these guys across the board that, you know, you're moving on. You're moving forward. You know, you're moving towards 500 and then towards contention. And, you know, those chances to just kind of show yourself are going to be fewer and far between. But Pereira looks like he may have that chance. And, you know, again, a versatile outfielder, plays all three positions. You know, could be a platoon bat, could be someone who could give, you know, time to Luis Robert in center field. So, I mean, a good add-on with trading two guys who you know, served the White Sox fine, but might not have been in the plans big time moving forward.
Absolutely. Good point there. Perhaps the most surprising news, at least for me, was the announcement of Fraser Ellard's retirement. And I don't know if that was the direct reason for the other trade, but the White Sox acquired lefty Chris Murphy from Boston in exchange for minor league catcher Ronnie Hernandez. Of course, the White Sox have quite a deal of depth when it comes to the catching position. So the addition of Chris Murphy, the lefty, and the abrupt retirement of Fraser Ellard, your thoughts there, Scott?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you've done this long enough, you see the press releases, and especially if you haven't heard about it beforehand, which is, I did not, you know, no one really heard about the Chris Murphy. I think it did break a little bit before maybe that it was announced, but you look at the press release and you're like, okay. And you're like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting, you know, mm-hmm. And Fraser, great dude, you know, really good guy to cover. I remember talking to him, got a nice little story out of the people remember that when he got on the mound, he'd warm up and he'd go to the back of the mound and take the rosin bag and then he'd spike it before he started pitching. And he talked to me that one time about, what, you know, where he picked that up. And I think he went to Liberty. So I believe he picked that up in college and it kind of fired him up and it just stayed with him throughout the minors and into the majors. And he, you know, he did a solid job for the team last year. Again, he was a guy in a bunch of different roles, but, you know, Chris explained it well to us. I think it was the first question I asked him in the Zoom the other day about, you know, the situation with Fraser. And it's good to hear that Fraser walked away on his own volition. You know, I believe he's starting a family with his wife, or that's what, you know, Chris told us, and that he's got a couple other businesses, I believe, with his brother. He has like a digital marketing business, and, you know, he's just moving on from baseball, or so it seems right now. I mean, I would assume that he's also young enough that if a year or two down the line he wants to come back, he could do it. I'm not saying with the White Sox, but he could do it. But, yeah, Chris Murphy is an interesting pickup. Another decent left-handed pitcher who the Sox, you know, according to Chris the other day, he has started before. He pitched in relief for Boston last year. So they're not totally set on what role he's going to be used in. But, yeah, it makes sense to get another lefty like that if you're going to lose a lefty who did give you some good innings in Fraser Ellard. But, yeah, best of luck to Fraser. Hope, you know, everything goes well in his future endeavors there.
Scott Merkin joining me here on White Sox Weekly for another couple minutes on ESPN 1000. All right, Scott, I know you spend some time in Vegas from time to time. You were just there the other day or a couple weeks ago for the, obviously, the GM meetings. Of course, I know you've got a trip planned here shortly. So if you're trying to determine a bet here, if you were making a wager, which way would you lean? Do you believe Luis Robert Jr. will be in a White Sox uniform come opening day 2026?
Well, first of all, we know there's no wagering, right? That's the first
thing.
This is
true.
Yes. How about that?
If Emmanuel Clase has taught us anything, there is no wagering. It is not allowed. Good point. Thank you for steering me in the right direction. Yes. If you had to guess.
No wagering at all.
If you had to guess as an MLB.com employee, thank you. My bad there.
I would say the question was, is he going to be there at opening day, right?
Yes.
Wow. It's you know, I mean, it's such a tough question to answer because there's so many sides to it, you know. I really believe in the two or three times I interviewed Luis one-on-one with that exceptional help of Billy Russo last spring training, that Luis did not believe he was going to be there at the end of spring training. Now, once the year went on, I think Luis felt like he was going to be there throughout the year. I remember shaking hands with him right before the trade deadline, saying, you know, thanks for everything, and he just kind of smirked. And Luis is a very low-key dude, really, you know, just kind of a chill, laid-back guy who works his tail off. But he just kind of looked at me and laughed. He said, I'll still be here. So he kind of like, you're wasting your goodbye here because I'm not going anywhere. But I really do believe in spring training, he thought he was going to be gone. I it's an interesting situation because I don't know the whole budgetary situation for the White Sox. You know, I mean, is it, if Robert is there with the $20 million they picked up on him for this year, then does that constrain them from making other moves they might want to do? Or they could possibly move Robert, maybe with someone else in the process, and, you know, enhance the return and then repurpose that money somewhere else. I do know, I can tell you this for a fact, everyone in that organization really likes Luis Robert. You know, he fits very well in that clubhouse. You heard guys like Colson and Davis Martin and just everyone across the room talking about what a good guy Luis Robert is. And you hear from everyone who's worked with him, what is he, this will be his seventh year with the Sox, I think, how hard he works. He is super talented. I don't know if we're going to see the 2023 Luis Robert, which was arguably one of the best players in baseball, one of the best overall stat lines in White Sox history, I would say, if you look at it across the board. But I still think he's a very good player, very good center fielder. So, wow. I mean, if I had to give an answer, it's so hard to say. I'm gonna hedge just because I don't know on a trade-wise, you know, what Chris is willing to take at this point. If you know, is he still looking for a high-end prospect if he's going to move a guy of Luis Robert's ilk? So very difficult to say. Yeah. I'm going to leave that up in the air. I'll say yes for now.
And
we'll know more. We'll know more in Orlando in a couple weeks when we go to the winter meeting.
I feel very similar to you do. It almost feels like a 50-50 proposition at this point. So that is Scott Merkin. Of course, you can follow him on X and all the other socials at Scott Merkin. Of course, if you're a White Sox fan and you're not subscribed to his newsletter already, what are you doing? Gives you all the news that you need to be aware of, especially during this off season when sometimes it's harder to find some White Sox news when you're not listening to White Sox Weekly. Scott, as always, I appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Again, Scott Merkin, follow him on Twitter at Scott Merkin. Hey, Sox fans, get access to the best seats at the best value and lock in a 2026 ticket plan today. Be here for the biggest matchups, exciting new promotions, and opening day on Thursday, April 2nd. Plus, enjoy flexible payment plans, savings on single games, and more. To secure your ticket plan, visit whitesox.com/2026. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. When we come back, we'll let you hear from Tanner McDougal right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider and get special offers, single game ticket presales, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. Jeff Meller back on White Sox Weekly, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but Tanner McDougal, the seventh-rated prospect inside the White Sox organization and the third overall pitcher when it comes to prospect rankings, had his contract selected earlier this week, which means he is on the White Sox 40-man roster. McDougal had a very strong minor league season this past season at Class A Winston-Salem and Class AA Birmingham. He went a combined 3-5 with a 3.26 ERA. He had 136 strikeouts over 28 starts. He did that in 113 and a third innings, so more strikeouts than innings, a 10.8 per nine, which is a very strong number. McDougal began the season with the Winston-Salem Dash before he was eventually promoted to Birmingham back on June 18th when he was very, very good during his stretch run. And he also had an opportunity to play with Birmingham through their Southern League playoff run in which the Barons won their second straight Sally League title. Tanner McDougal joined the media earlier this week and talked about reaching a career goal.
I definitely was antsy, you know, but, you know, I was just hoping for the best, you know, whatever happened happened. But yeah, I mean, obviously it was awesome, you know, getting the call and then, you know, being able to, you know, mark off one of those goals that I kind of set out for myself last year. But you know, it was awesome, to be honest with you.
Was this, like, obviously you were kind of building off of, you know, the end of 2024, you were not, you know, where you wanted to be. was this something you set out as a goal even at the beginning of 2025, or is it something that kind of came into view as you were, you know, pitching the way you were this year?
I mean, it was a goal, but more of a long-term goal, I feel like. You know, my goal was just to get back to throwing strikes and getting outs, kind of redefine myself, reprove myself. Obviously, after the year I had in 2024, you know, I was kind of on the outs on myself just a little bit, just because it's frustrating when you're not doing, you know, what you feel like you're capable of doing. So, I mean, I just came in trying to prove to myself that, you know, you're good enough, you can do this, you know, stuff like that. Kind of just reinforcing myself. And then obviously everything else that came with it, and that was great. But yeah, I just kind of came into the season just trying to get back to, you know, having fun and just getting after it, getting after hitters.
And you talked in the past about, you know, a lot of credit to what you did the last offseason going and training at Cressy. Did that kind of inform what you want to do this offseason, you know, obviously going with a chance to, you know, be a big league camp?
Yeah, I mean, I went back to Cressy obviously this offseason, and you know, it's just great to have people in your corner that truly, truly want you to succeed. And you know, they put we have a great plan in place to, you know, hopefully, you know, push the limits here again this year, and you know, hopefully make a difference on the big league side at some point this year.
Hey Tanner, just how much confidence does it give you knowing that you're able to accomplish some of those goals that you set forth heading on into the season?
I mean, it's great. You know, kind of gained a lot of my confidence back. I lost some of it having TJ, you know, coming back struggling, but it just reinforces the thoughts and stuff that, you know, I'm capable of doing this and I am where I belong.
I mean, if someone asked you just kind of describe your 2025 as a whole, what would you say?
I mean, it was great for me personally. I mean, everything that I set out to do, I accomplished, and you know, I was super proud of myself and just, you know, being able to go out and just, you know, accomplish what I set after.
Tanner, how would you describe the White Sox infrastructure and you know, how Brian Bannister impacts everything that you and the other pitchers do in the organization?
I mean, I think the infrastructure is great. I think it's come a long way from where it was when I got into the organization in 2021 to now. I think Brian Bannister has done a great job of kind of getting hands-on with a lot of our guys and, you know, really bolstering not only our pitching prospects, but our pitching staff in the big league, on the big league side. And I think it's truly starting to show with, you know, the what we're being able to produce as pitchers, both in the minor leagues and the big leagues.
Hey Tanner, so what was it like for you to go on the championship run with Birmingham this year? Any, you know, favorite moments for you, and what do you think that can kind of do for you going forward?
Yeah, I mean, creating a winning culture in the minor leagues is you know, somewhat proven to create a winning culture in the big leagues. I think that, you know, you learn a lot from playing playoff baseball. You learn, you know, your limits, your teammates' limits, and you learn how to play as a team and pull for one another. I mean, I'm so grateful. I've gotten to play in the playoffs the last 2 years, you know, 2024 in Indianapolis, and then this year in Birmingham, and those runs are like nothing else. Those games really feel way different, and they're super, super fun, and they're incredible to pitch in.
How do you feel your progress has come, and what do you see yourself in this upcoming run for a spot on the roster?
I mean, you know, I just at this point, I'm just trying to do anything I can to help the big league team out. You know, whether that's out of the bullpen, whether it's as a starter, you know, whatever they need, I'm willing to do. And that's just kind of how I'm going at it. I'm going at it very open-minded, and just, you know, see where things go and see where the pieces fall.
No, it's just been 2 years now, but you've had, you know, pretty good results in the postseason in the minors the last couple of years. Is there something about, you know, increased tension or that stage that you enjoy or, you know, seems to bring the best out of you?
I mean, I don't know. I've always been an adrenaline guy. I don't know, just since I was little, you know, love roller coaster stuff like that, which, you know, is weird just because you don't realize how much the adrenaline really does play into those type of games and those situations. But I just think, I don't know, when you know, things are heightened and you know, everybody's putting it on the line. I just feel like it just brings the best out of me for whatever reason. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoy pitching the playoffs, high leverage situations. So, I mean, I can't complain about that at all.
And, you know, I think you probably could say that you've done a lot of work over this year in throwing more strikes to kind of establish that you can start. Is what kind of brings your kind of being open-minded about maybe relieving? Is that being the way that you crack into the majors? Is it more just kind of seeing the league and seeing some guys going from leavers to starters, or is it about feeling like you can work anywhere? Just what goes into your mindset about that role, given that you put a lot of work into, you know, kind of showing you can be a starter going forward?
Yeah, I mean, if it's up to me, I want to start. You know, I want to be a starter as long as physically possible. But, you know, if there's a need and I can fill that need, then that's kind of where it comes from. You know, it's about giving the big league team the best chance to win and putting up zeros and putting wins in the win columns. So, I mean, whatever they need, you know, that's something that I'm willing to do. Obviously, of course, I want to be a starter. That's just me. I guess the ego is I want to be a starter because I truly believe I'm a starter. But again, like whatever it takes to get up there and put that jersey on and get after it in games, that's what I'm willing to do.
And ego be helpful at times, you know, especially, you know, in coming from, you know, dark moments or when you're lower down and maybe this was harder to see getting to the majors at the end. Was it the belief that, like, hey, I'm talented enough, I'm good enough to, you know, be better than this? Has that been an aid in this process, even if ego can be a bad thing sometimes?
100%. The worst part about, you know, not pitching well in 2024 and stuff like that was I knew I was better than what I was putting out on the field. I just didn't know where to turn and I didn't know where to go to. But, you know, we worked through it within the org and stuff like that and figured out, you know, what we needed to do to get obviously over the plate some more and be more effective. And, you know, that's what we did. So that just, you know, is another testimony to how well we're doing with developing and stuff like that within the minor league system and just within the org as itself.
So there you go. Interesting stuff from 22-year-old Tanner McDougal, who was just added to the White Sox 40-man roster earlier this past week. One of those check marks in a young player's career as they attempt to reach the majors. I would imagine that Tanner McDougal, a very strong chance of being seen on the South Side later in the 2026 MLB season. That is going to do it for this edition of White Sox Weekly. As always, want to say thank you very much to the executive producer of White Sox Weekly and White Sox Baseball. That is Brendan Riley. Thanks to Scott Merkin as well for joining me earlier in the show. If you missed it, always check out the podcast available to you on ESPN Chicago. That will do it for us. Want to say have a great and happy Thanksgiving this next week. Enjoy it. And don't forget to be thankful for all that you have. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly.